Good evening and Happy New Year, almost. And it is a great year, and it's a great time to be here. And I hope you had as nice a Valentine's night as I did last night. Well, I'm Robert Schuller, and I just want to welcome you to The Call, which is part of the Robert Schuller Ministries Church with No Walls. Donna and I look forward to this time every month where we can gather together over the phone and read the Bible, pray together, listen to interesting guests who share great information, and just have an opportunity to talk with you and let you ask us questions and do whatever we can to help connect you with God and through the answer some of your questions about what's going on. And we just are really excited that we can be with you mid-month and encourage you and help you get through whatever challenges that you may be facing.
Good evening, and this is Donna Schuller. Thank you again for joining Robert and I on the call. And, you know, this is just a small part of the Robert Schuller Ministries, the Gathering Church, and the Church with No Walls, which is our international ministry. So we just really want to thank you for joining us again tonight. We meet on the 15th of every month at 6 p.m. Pacific time. And, you know, it's the same day every month, always at the same time, 6 p.m. Pacific time. As usual, we have another fantastic guest this evening. So just remember, there'll be a time of questions and answers for ourselves and for our guests. You can ask any questions you want, and you'll be pushing *6 when we tell you that our Q&A session has begun. So anyway, we thank you for joining us. Robert?
Yeah, I want to begin with prayer. We love to pray. I think prayer is what connects us with God, keeps us together. It's what helps Don and I get through a day and get through whatever circumstances we're facing. So I want to invite you to join me for a moment of prayer right now. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity where we can come together from all over the globe. We have had people on this call from Australia and Canada and Mexico, and Don and I have done this call from all over the world. From the Philippines to Korea, so we just thank you that we have this technology where we can come together spiritually, emotionally, and support one another. For you've promised that where two or three are gathered together in my name, there you'll be also. And so in this gathering, in this time of church, we know you're with us, even though we may be in our homes and separated by miles. We're still together emotionally and spiritually, so we know that your presence is with us. So as we explore and discover ways of praying and how to pray and how prayer changes things, and if it doesn't change things, it changes us for the things. So may we realize that you are a God who continues to bestow your goodness on us always and forever. We love you, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
So, Donna, do you want to read a scripture for us?
Sure. We're going to go down there. Oh, yeah, absolutely. This evening, I'm reading from the Old Testament, 2 Chronicles, verses 7 through 14. I'll be reading from the New International Version. Robert and I typically use the NIV. And the 2 Chronicles says, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land." And we know that God will continue to bless just the reading of the scriptures.
Wow. Yeah, that is one of the great Bible verses. And it's one that touches my heart dearly as I spend a lot of time, a lot of prayer, praying for our nation and praying for our country. Just a few weeks ago, I was in the Capitol attending a conference on protection of the First Amendment. There are lots of people who are very concerned about that. We look at where the direction that our country is going, and there is a lot of concern. part of the concern is the fact that we have lost our Christian heritage to a large degree. Case in point, most people have absolutely no idea what Valentine's Day is about. And here we celebrated this wonderful holiday last night, yesterday, and few people realize that Valentine's Day isn't about giving cards and hearts and flowers. Valentine's Day is to celebrate the life of a Christian martyr. Saint Valentine was a martyr. On September 14th, 269, he was beheaded. And he died because he wouldn't bow down to the Roman gods. He was true to his faith. We don't teach that in our schools. We don't teach that in our society. We have forgotten the fact that Valentine's Day is a spiritual holiday. It's a time for us to remember the tremendous roots of our faith, and yet we've completely forgotten it.
Tell about the good stuff though. Like how did cards get sent, and what is the meaning of XOXO? Those things are really cool. I like those.
Yeah, besides the beating up.
Robert already gave me this lesson yesterday. So
yeah. Well, I know one thing. Saint Valentine was one tough dude. They tried to originally kill him by flogging, and they couldn't do it. And as a result, he landed up being beheaded. While he was imprisoned, the reason we give cards on Valentine's Day, it's been something that we've been doing for centuries. And one of the reasons is, the main reason is that while he was imprisoned, his prison guard asked him if he would pray for his daughter who was blind. So Saint Valentine prayed for his daughter. His daughter was healed, and he was so grateful, he asked him if he would send a card to or give a note for his daughter, and Saint Valentine did, and that then started the whole idea of giving cards on Valentine's Day, just like Saint Valentine gave a card to this young girl. So that's how that got started. Now, X's and O's. You want to know about X's and O's?
Yeah, tell them about those.
Okay.
That's pretty great.
Chaucer, in the 14th century, wrote about the birds, and that the birds sit there and get their lifelong loves and mates in the middle of February. And he said, and because of that, that turned Valentine's Day into a thought of romance and love. Now, the X's and the O's actually comes from X being the first letter in Christus in Greek. And so what would happen is people would sign their letters and their contracts with an X, meaning I promise on the name of Jesus Christ that I'm going to adhere to this contract and this promise. And that is where we get the X. And that's where you get the X from in Xmas, et cetera, et cetera. It's the same thing. Now, the O is interesting. What they would do out of respect for that, the cross or that X, they would actually kiss it as a sign that this is that they respect their faith in Jesus and their love for God, and as a result that kiss then became the O, and there you get the X's, the O's, the cards, the Saint Valentine's Day being a time of love, and what it's all about. So you know, I bring that all up because, again, the Bible says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I'll hear from heaven. I will hear them, and I will forgive their sins and heal their land.
Don't you think that can be applied to us as individuals, too? As I was reading it, as I was preparing to read it, Robert, I was thinking of, you know, of the United States, you know, I will heal their land, or globally, I will heal their land. But isn't it kind of true we can take this as individuals as far, because we're going to be talking to Chris Halverson here in a little bit about prayer. We'll go more into it. But I'm thinking If we as individuals will humble ourselves and pray and seek Jesus' face, and if we will turn away from our wicked ways, then he'll hear from heaven and forgive our sins and heal us, meaning our land. I mean, I don't know.
Well, the passage says, if my people.
Right.
If my people. It would be, no, it could be individual.
That's
it could
what I'm
be,
thinking.
It could be a joint. It could be a group. Mm-hmm. It could be a gathering.
Mm-hmm.
It's all of the above. People, his people. I'm
right.
One of his people. You're one of his people. It would be like, because if my family wants to come over for Thanksgiving, they can come over. Whoever comes over, comes over.
Right.
Everyone's invited. It's the same kind of thing where everybody is invited. All we have to do is accept the invitation to humble ourselves and pray, seek his face, turn from our wicked ways, then he will hear from heaven, forgive our sins, and heal our land.
And we sure need that, don't we?
Boy, do we ever.
We sure do.
Yeah, I've been looking at some of the frightening statistics of alcohol abuse and drug abuse. Heroin is just having a terrible comeback in our nation, and I've been told it's extremely inexpensive. Yeah, when I was in college, it was a horrible plague that faced this nation, but back then it was extremely expensive.
And so rare. You only thought about the worst of the worst of the worst drug addicts using heroin. Isn't that correct?
That's the way we thought of it.
Mm-hmm.
But today, here in our neighborhood in Orange County, it's an epidemic of upper middle class and people who are being addicted to this terrible, terrible drug. And it's taking lives and killing lives.
A lot of young people.
Young people.
High schoolers. People as young as like 15, 16 years old are trying heroin.
That's right.
Unbelievable.
So the good news is that I'm getting involved in looking at ways to make an impact and make a difference. And I hope that in the next month I'll be able to share some impacts that we can make to put a dent in this epidemic that is cursing our nation. Because we need to do this. We need to look at it. We need to realize that this is something that will kill our nation.
And it all starts with prayer, though, doesn't it, Robert? So we've been in prayer over this since we had a meeting on Friday, and we have been praying diligently about this epidemic drug problem that was brought to our attention. Actually, we had known about it, but again, God just knocked on that door and said, hey, we want you to do something about it. So, you know, everything begins in prayer, and you know, we have the most amazing guy on the line here waiting for us to introduce him, and we can get into a lot more discussion about the power of prayer, about you know, just how important prayer is, and the power behind praying to God, praying to Jesus Christ, and asking him to heal us individually or collectively. So anyway, Robert, I'll let you take over there.
Well, we are prepared to talk with our guest, Chris Dollarson. I think he's having some difficulty with his phone. Is he on?
Yeah, he's here. He muted, so he's down here. I see you. I see Chris.
I'm on board.
Here.
Oh,
hi, guys.
He is on board. Okay,
he's
good.
Board.
I didn't see you on our screen there. Oh, that's great, Chris. Well, let me introduce you a little bit about and talk a little bit about Chris, because I've known Chris now for a little over a year.
No,
2 years?
A little over 2 years.
Over 2 years. Wow. I think it'll be 2 years in May. Is it May? April, May?
You're probably right.
Yeah, I met him at an event called Horatio Alger. My father was inducted into the Horatio Alger in 1986. And I've been going, and Donna have been going to these Horatio Alger meetings from time to time. And we went there recently with a friend of ours who is being inducted into this prestigious organization. I sat at a table, and sitting at that table, I met this man, Chris Helverson. And afterwards, he said, I want to meet you. I want to just be a brother to you. And I was kind of reluctant and kind of maybe standoffish, because I didn't really know what this guy was really all about. Didn't know what to expect from this guy, but he... We had breakfast the next morning, and he says, Robert, I don't want anything from you. I just want to pray for you. I just want to be a friend. And in the last 2 years, he has truly been as good a friend as a friend can be.
Yes, he has.
He is the father of 6 children, the grandfather of 8 grandchildren. His late wife, Maura, died of cancer 4 years ago. He graduated from Princeton Theological Seminary while pastoring numerous congregations throughout the East Coast. Chris remained active in his primary ministry through the Prayer Breakfast Movement, which began with members of the United States Congress meeting weekly for times of prayer, fellowship, instruction, and the breaking of bread. Upon entering the White House in 1953, President Eisenhower called upon this group to oversee the first presidential prayer breakfast in February 1953. And that was actually a year before I was born, I'll have you know. Oh, a year and a half before I was born.
Well, 3 years before I was born.
So it's been going on a long time. Little did they realize that this event, coupled with the private off-the-record meetings among members of Congress, would evolve into a movement which now touches leadership bodies in nearly 180 nations around the world. Serving as a volunteer in this global mission, Chris has had the privilege of serving as acting chaplain of the United States Senate from 92 to 95 and working closely with governors, legislators, and people of all walks of life to promote reconciliation through Jesus. Chris, hey, welcome to the call.
Welcome, Chris.
Oh, it's wonderful to be with you folks. I love you guys.
So as the acting chaplain, what was your main job with the Senate?
Well, people don't realize that the first order of business in the Senate and in the House is prayer. That's written into the policy and bylaws of the Senate and of the House. You cannot go into business without the prayer, and that goes all the way back to the founding fathers when Benjamin Franklin moved and it was seconded to have prayer in the Continental Congress.
And so would you start every meeting then with prayer? Would you be the one
every session in the morning? Yeah, every session in the morning there would be prayer, opening with prayer.
So you did that almost 1,000 times then.
Well, yeah, you were adding that up, and I'd have to. Yeah, there were at least that many prayers, and then of course the private prayers were much more.
Yeah, of course. So would you say that our nation, when you can look at that, do you think we are fulfilling part of that obligation that we have to humble ourselves and pray? Is our nation doing that?
I believe that God heard those prayers, that the current chaplain, Chaplain Black, who's a man of God, is praying the same way that I prayed and my father prayed before me. And I believe that God is hearing those prayers, and I can only think that it would be much worse if it wasn't for those prayers.
Yeah. Yeah, amen to that.
There is a definite spiritual battle, and I felt the principalities and powers being in that position. I was aware of spiritual forces as never before. I mean, literally, angels warring over the Capitol for our country, and we are in a spiritual battle. I think we couple this prayer with humility, with turning from our wicked ways, and some of those wicked ways are subtle within the body of Christ, but making sure that we ourselves are clean before the Lord, that He doesn't honor prayers that are just spoken off the cuff, or that are said in arrogance or pride or self-interest. So He's looking for those to pray, humble themselves and seek his face and turn from their wicked ways. I think that's why that turning from their wicked ways is part of the process of praying.
Interesting. So would you write out your prayer every day for the Congress?
Yes, public prayers, I would write them out. I would go before the Lord and pray for hours. Lord, teach me to pray. And every morning, of course, early in the morning, those prayers were offered. And that process of coming before the Lord and asking him to teach me to pray, asking him, what can I pray for these people? What can I pray for the members of the Congress who are struggling with a bill? Many of whom are arrogant, many of whom are prideful. Lord, teach me to pray. That was often the way I opened my own personal prayer life. And it's interesting, the Lord would give me prayers. So the public prayer was a more formal prayer, but there was much more private prayer between me and my friends than there was public prayer. The first prayer that I offered when I went to the Senate, I was very nervous, of course, and I remember going behind the well of the Senate where they debate things on what they call the floor of the Senate. There's a hallway in the back for senators only, except for officers, and I was one of the officers being chaplain. And there were some shoe shine men standing there who had been long-term employees of the Senate. And there was a very decorative shoe shine stand in the hallway. And these men were standing around waiting for me to appear. And when I came up, they said, they called me Dr. Halverson. They said, Dr. Halverson, would you come here for a moment? And I said, well, I've got to pray in about 3 minutes. And they said, I know, you have time. We want to say something to you. And so I went over to the shoe shine stand. And these old men said, we want you to know that your father prays for us just in the same way that he prays for the senators. And we know that this is your first prayer. And we wanted you to know that we've been here for many, many years. And your father is the first chaplain to take an interest in us and pray for us. And so we want to pray for you. And those men surrounded me and prayed for me. We only had 3 minutes, but when they finished that prayer, I was filled with energy, and the self-consciousness left me, and that's how I opened the first prayer, with that prayer support. And as I was going to the door to enter the chamber to walk onto the floor of the Senate, they said, and we want you to know we pray every morning for all the senators by name.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
wow.
Powerful. Powerful.
That's really powerful. That brings tears to my eyes, Chris. Wow.
Yeah.
What an amazing story. Again, the power of prayer, right? So you were instantly calmed, and were you ever nervous again then, or did that sort of cure you?
That pretty well cured me.
Yep. Yeah, I had a similar, not to interrupt too much, but I had a similar thing happened to me, Chris, when different but very similar. The very first time I had to lead an international women's conference at the Christ Cathedral, back in the days when we used to have 2,000 women or more in the Christ Cathedral, I had to MC the whole thing. And the guest speaker for the day, the plenary speaker, was Maya Angelou. And I met her down in the green room. And I'll never forget what she said to me. The first thing is a funny thing, and that is I said, oh, my gosh, I didn't know you were so tall. And she was wearing a bright yellow suit. And you know me, so you know I'm tall too, right? But I said that to her, and she looked at me, and she said, well, you're not so short either, sister. And so we kind of hit it off. But then as we were going up behind, you know, the staging and all, I was literally shaking. I was a nervous wreck. It's the first time I've ever done this. And here I am to introduce this great woman, Maya Angelou. And I was just, honestly, I was so nervous, and she knew it. So she came up to me. She grabbed me by the shoulders, looked me in the eye, and she said, you know what? She said, I'm going to pray for you. She said, because you have nothing to be nervous about. And she knew it.
Goodness.
And she laid her hands on me, kept her hands on me, prayed a prayer for me, and said, now you go out there. You are filled with the Holy Spirit. You go out there, and you say what you need to say with those people. And I'm telling you, Chris, a calmness came over me like I hardly ever experienced. I call it a miracle. I went out there. I introduced her and later, you know, interviewed her. And from that day on, I was never afraid again of public speaking.
How interesting.
Ever.
I have a similar story where I was speaking for a women's group, and I've always been absolutely terrified to be in front of people and speak. It was a curse for me. Here I was in seminary, and I was going to be a preacher, and yet I was absolutely terrified to stand in front of people and speak. And I remember as clear as day, the day that God took that curse away from me and cured me, and I haven't really had a fear like that ever since. It's little butterflies maybe once in a while, but it's not the same thing.
Amazing.
And you probably know it.
Yeah, the normal butterflies.
The normal butterflies. Okay, how long is how long, you know. And,
not the terrified,
not
like
the
you could die.
No, I was so terrified, I would just lose all my train of thought. I was a bumbling idiot up in front of people, and it was just bad because I was just so scared. It was just bad. But that's part of my past. I think it's part of Donna's past.
Absolutely.
And it's part of your past.
Did somebody pray for you? I forget the story, Robert.
Yeah, my dad did.
Your dad. Okay.
Yeah, my
so
dad.
He was there, and he knew you were nervous.
Yes, absolutely.
He felt your sweaty palms,
yeah.
He saw your teeth chattering, saw your eyes turning back and forth.
All the above.
You were white as a ghost. Or
yeah.
All the things that
caused
my stress. So.
Yeah, my dad prayed for me.
Yeah, prayer is powerful. And, you know, if God cares about something like that, imagine how much more he cares about an injured child or a couple that's going through a divorce or... when you suffer and grieve from the death of a loved one, and imagine how much more God cares about us and our prayers and our times of severe pain and need. I mean, it's amazing if you stop and think about it and prayerfully consider that. It's pretty amazing.
Yes, it is. So this is the season of Lent. We started that... this past week, I think it was a week ago.
Wednesday.
It would be Wednesday. It was Ash Wednesday, the beginning of Lent. What does Lent mean to you, Chris?
Well, you know, I was watching the people who practice Lent with the ashes. And it's a time it is a time of humiliation and a time of reflecting on our sins. Of our need for repentance, for change. And there's a couple of things that I've learned about prayer in this respect that I'd like to share. One of them is the power of the imagination. The Lord gave us different receptors to him. He gave us a conscience to give us a sensitivity to something that we're doing wrong. If we have a bad conscience, that's good because that's a signal to us. Our conscience troubles us. That's an internal gift that's built in to the human person. Another wonderful gift that we don't talk about a lot is imagination. In our culture today, we just use the word, oh, you're just imagining it. But actually, the imagination, when used properly, is a tremendous tool. So I've been imagining myself sitting with the Lord as a father. I imagine him sitting there. And if we keep our imagination clean, of course, we can imagine negative things. We can imagine things that would actually disturb our minds and souls. But if we imagine the good things, and by the way, the biblical notion, the Hebraic idea of the mind, when we talk about be transformed by the renewing of your mind, a good translation of mind is imagination.
Ooh, yeah.
And so when the Lord says,
start off with,
go ahead.
I was just going to say, it's interesting you start off with imagining sitting next to your Father, because that's how the Lord's Prayer begins. Our Father, Lord in heaven.
Yeah.
And the Lord's Prayer is often used as an outline as to how we should pray.
Well, it's been very helpful for me to imagine myself sitting there with my Heavenly Father and Him sitting there. And sometimes I imagine Jesus praying because He ever liveth to intercede for the saints. So I imagine Jesus there praying with me and us approaching the Father together. And sometimes I will lose my concentration. And rather than get negative about it and beat myself for, oh, I've now been here for 2 minutes and I haven't been praying, I remember how as a father I sit with my children, and while they're playing, and their attention span is very brief, very limited, and I don't lose my attention on them. I'm still watching them play on the floor with their toys, and I still love them. And so I realized that just being in the presence of my Father, that He is still there with me. He still loves me. He's watching me and listening to me to the degree that I'm able to concentrate on Him. So those are a couple of things that have helped me. And then when I'm aware of the sin in my life, because sometimes as we draw near to the Lord at this season of Lent, we may have thoughts of imperfection, sin, of the things that we've done wrong that would come to mind. And I just then lay them at the feet of the cross. I just give them to the Father.
It's beautiful. I have a couple thoughts that came to mind based on what you said. Number one, if you can hear crying in the background, it's because we're at our daughter's house right now, and she's putting her 21-month-old son, our grandson, to bed in the next room. So we're in a little room with the door closed, but we can hear him. I don't know if you all can hear him, but right before he went to bed, my mom, his Gigi Ma, and he calls me Dee Dee, so Gigi Ma and Dee Dee were playing with blocks on the floor with him, Chris, and you know what? That's all he cares about, right? It's just being present. And yeah, we don't leave him and say, oh no, we're done with the blocks now. We're bored. We don't want to play. We stay down there, right? We play trucks and blocks and dumped him out of the dump truck for as long as we could. And it was just
and
a wonderful thing.
And the point that Chris makes is that if he's not paying attention to us,
no,
it doesn't make any difference.
No.
We still are watching him.
Exactly.
We're still with him.
Right.
No matter what he's doing.
Yes.
And we just sit there and watch him do what he does. That's the way our Heavenly Father is with us when we pray.
Right.
You hear that being said. I love it.
And another thing that came to mind is that when I pray vividly, my deepest prayers came when our daughter was very, very ill about 8 years ago now, I guess, 7 or 8 years. It's been a while, but I picture Jesus as a healer, and I do this. It's a deep, deep part of my imagination where I see Jesus in a bright white, not really even a robe, more like a cape, and he's surrounding the person that I'm praying for, and there's a very bright, warm light coming off of him, and he too is praying, and I can't exactly see his face, but I know he's praying, and I know he's working on healing this person in his time and his way. And I started that when our daughter was so ill so many years ago. And I can go right there to that place with my imagination. So it's interesting that I pray and imagine him as the healer, the only healer, the only true healer. So thank you for that. I don't know, I guess, what would that be to me, sort of like encouragement. Thank you for that encouragement, because I'm thinking, I do that. I do that.
Donna's a prayer warrior, like you are, Chris. And I spend a lot of time in prayer as well. I pray usually, most of my prayer takes place in the early hours before I get out of bed. Mm. I'll wake up usually before dark, and I'll just lay in the bed and pray. And that's my main prayer time. Well, we want to open up our lines for question and answers. If somebody has any questions for Chris, if you're listening to us and would like to ask Chris or Don and I a question, it's really simple. On your handset, press the star button and 6, star 6, and you'll be put in the queue, and we'll bring you up, and you can participate in our conversation. You can ask any questions. If you have an illustration or something to share as far as the power of prayer in your life, you can do that as well. So we just want to open that up and invite you to participate in this call, because a call isn't one way. It's two ways.
Yes, it is.
And it's not just you listening to Chris and I. It's all of us talking together. It's one big happy community of people who come together, and we learn from that and grow from it.
And I want to say a couple of things as we're waiting to see if anybody's interested in asking a question. A couple of things I wanted to remind you of. If you haven't already signed up for our newsletter, make sure you go to the website at robertshulerministries.org. I think most people today know it's www.robertshulerministries.org. An email confirmation will be sent to your inbox, and then you'll receive our digital newsletter 3 to 4 times a year. We don't send it out every week. We don't send it out every month. You won't be inundated with all kinds of, stuff. It's just a great newsletter that'll keep you up to date with what we're doing in our ministry. And we send it out 3 or 4 times a year. And so just go to the website and subscribe there. And starting in our next issue, which will be our spring issue, we're going to start giving away a few gifts, some books, and some other things. So if you want to get in on that, it'll be kind of fun.
Yeah, that sounds terrific. I love giving things away. I remember when I was a pastor at Ranch Capistrano, I would do a children's message every Sunday, and most of the times I'd have little gifts that I could give them. I would go to the Hour of Power warehouse, and I'd find some of the leftover crosses that we had, or coins or something of that nature. I'd give it all to the kids, and they just thought that was the greatest thing in the world, coming to church and getting a necklace or a coin or whatever, or a pen, whatever it might be. And they just thought that was the greatest thing in the world. And I love teaching those kids. I would never prepare for it, because after 2 or 3 weeks of preparing something and realizing that I never could get through it because the kids would interrupt me and say something and I didn't have the heart to ignore them, I would just bounce off of what they would say. And I did that every week. And for somehow it just, God miraculously turned that around, and it was always very, very much tied in with everything else that was going on in the service. And it was shocking at the end of the service to realize how God was involved in directing that and making that difference. So Chris, when you pray, you start by imagining you're with Father. At what point do you go into petition? Because most people, when they pray, and when most people who think about prayer, they think of petitions and petitioning God for something they need.
You know, you mentioned earlier, Robert, something that has been a tremendous help to me, and that is just to pray through the Lord's Prayer. But I do it slowly. So our Father, I then think about Him as being my Father, and that's when I use the gift of imagination, sitting there, wherever I am, that He's there with me. And I'm in the same room with Him. He's in the same room with me. I picture Him there. And then I'll dwell on that Father image for a while. Who art in heaven, hallowed be Your name. I take some time to just acknowledge His holiness and purity. And I might sing a song at that part of the Lord's Prayer. Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. then that's when I begin petitioning for the kingdom to come, the kingdom to come in my life, for the kingdom to come in the life of my family, each of my children, my grandchildren, for the kingdom to come in the Senate or in the room where I'm in the ministry that I have, for the kingdom to come in the place that I'm working. Let your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. And so that way I go through the, in a sense, I use that model. And it's, you know, when you think about it, the disciples were taught to pray that way. And it's a full-fledged prayer if you go through the Lord's Prayer. So I use that as my model of praying.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah, I do the same thing. I know when I was going through some really difficult times in my life, I prayed through the 23rd Psalm, and that really, really made a huge difference in my life, being able to pray the 23rd Psalm, because the Lord, you know, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, and I just focus on that, and how he makes it, how he is my shepherd, and I shall not want, not meaning that I shouldn't want anything, but he supplies all my need. I don't have anything that he will not supply, that he'll care for me, that he's my shepherd. And I just continue to pray through that, and it was just extremely healing for me. Well, we have a guest on the, who wants to ask a question, and so I'm not going to say your name unless you want to, but you're on the air. Welcome to the call.
Hi, everyone. Hi, Pastor Bobby and Donna. This is Luann, and I'm not going to cry this month like I did last month. And I'm so sorry I missed your call, Pastor Robert, but I was wondering, do you text so we can set up a day to talk? Because I do still need to talk with you.
Yes.
And okay, great, because it's going to be really hard for us to play phone tag, I think, because you're really busy. But I wanted to ask all three of you, and I'm sure other people do the same thing. You're trying to put your concentration, like when you get distracted or you hear a noise or the phone rings or you just start thinking about something you have to get done by a certain time. You know what I mean? Like I always feel so guilty for breaking up my prayer. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, we talked about that when Chris first got on the line. And I just loved what he said. And the whole idea is that as long as we're in his presence, and if we forget who that he's there for a while and we're talking with him, it's kind of like our Father is there around us and surrounding us and caring for us. And I don't think he wants us to feel guilty for that. Do you?
No.
Chris?
Absolutely not. You know, we're in his presence. We've gone into that closet. The fact that we've gone into the closet to pray, even if it's for a few seconds, shows the Lord that we want to be with him. We want to talk with him. Now, my grandchildren, when they sit on my knee, they've got about a 30-second time span of attention.
Yeah.
And then they're off. It doesn't mean that they don't love me, but they're just, they're young, they're immature. And so what happens in my heart when they get off my knee and stop looking at me and talking to me, my heart still goes out to them. I'm their father, their grandfather. And so so it is with our Heavenly Father. When we lose that attention, he loves it. We're in his presence. And we wanted to come and sit in his lap. And we only have a few seconds. Now, I will say that the more we grow sitting on the lap of Jesus or sitting in the lap of our Father in heaven and imagining that, the more mature we grow. So over time, you can actually grow where your attention span increases. But don't feel guilty. That's a process that we all experience. Everyone experiences that.
I agree. I do. Do you, Donna?
Absolutely. And I talk to a lot of people about that guilt thing, too, and just say, hey, God loves you just the way you are. And if you're doing the best you can, that's all he cares about. And that was a great question, Luann. Thank you. And I thought I saw somebody else. Maybe not. Robert, would you like me to do the offering?
Yeah, that'd be great.
So this is a telephone church service, and as most of you know that have joined us before, we do take an offering, as do most churches. We have many, many people to thank for their continued gifts to our ministry. You help keep us doing what we're called to do, and that is to reach people around the globe with the love of Jesus Christ. If you would like to make a donation, please go to the robertshulerministries.org and click on the donate button, which can be found on the right side of the home page. Or if you choose to use traditional snail mail, you may send your donations to Robert Shuler Ministries, 919 Bayside Drive. That's B as in boy, Bayside Drive, E as in Edward, 3, Newport Beach, California, 92660. Your donations are tax deductible. And also, if you ever have any questions for us, if you want to know what we do with your donations, you can write to us, robert@robertshulerministries.org or donna@robertshulerministries.org. And we are truly grateful for any amount you feel called to donate. So we thank you for that.
Well, Chris, how do you use, so you started to talk a little bit about petition, and I mentioned earlier that petition seems to be the core of what most people think of when they pray, because as you're talking about mature Christians and immature Christians, and we're all immature Christians. And so we have a tendency when we get in trouble to say, help, Lord, help, help, help. And you know, pray for the time that you always pray when you need him the most. And it's a strong petition. But when you're at a place of peace and you come before the Lord in prayer and you petition him, how do you then end your prayer time?
Well, I think it's obvious what I'm going to say, that it's a relationship of a father to a son that we have, or a daughter. So we have this wonderful family relationship. It's our father. So what a great word that Jesus uses to describe God. He's not just an inanimate power up there that's removed from
us. He's not a force.
He's not just a force, yeah. He is a,
may the horse
he's a father.
Be with you.
And and so you come before him and you're in this relationship, and just as you know, the Spirit's moving right now among us on this phone call. The Holy Spirit's moving, and he's reminding us of this wonderful relationship that we can have with him. And so I really put that in the forefront of, and I remember, you know, Robert, you and I have had great fathers, famous fathers, and they were godly men, and we were fortunate to be raised that way. And they had their problems too. But I remember sometimes when I had a tremendous need, I would phone my dad and say, Dad, I've got to talk to you. And he would. And I think it's appropriate right now, Robert, for you to share the experience you had fishing with your dad and the promise that he made to you and how that relates to the promise that our father made, the promises he makes to us.
Yeah. Well, you know, my father, I shared this story at my father's funeral. And because as I remember as a young boy watching my father drive away with his friends to go on a fishing trip, And I wanted him to take me with him. And I stood on the curb and watched him as he drove away with his friends. And when he got back, he took me aside and he said, you know, Bobby, he called me Bobby back then. He goes, Bobby, I want you to know that I didn't have a very good time because all I could think about was seeing you sitting on that curbside and watching me drive away, saying, "Why? I want to go with you." And he said, "I'm not going fishing without you again. I promise." And he made that promise to me when I was a child, a very young boy. I don't even know how old, probably 10 or 11 years old. And to the best of my knowledge, he kept that promise. He didn't fish without me, and I didn't fish without him. Well, I take that back. I did fish without him. But he didn't fish without me. I didn't fish that promise. But we fished together a lot. And it was a time for us to be able to really bond our relationships and our love for each other. And
I'm sorry, I can't help but laugh because now we hear our grandson being put to bed in the next room, and I hear him saying, Opa Didi, because he calls Robert Opa and me Didi. He can hear our voices in here. It's a very small condo they live in, or townhouse, and I hear him saying, Opa Didi, Opa, plus the windows are open because it's really hot here tonight. Really warm. Yeah. And another heat spell here. Sorry for those of you that are on the East Coast, and I thought it was snowing in New York today, but it is really warm here. Like it was, 83 today?
Yeah, it got very hot.
83 along the beach.
That's along the coast. Inland, it got into the 90s, I understand.
We also have a dog scratching at the door because our dog's over here. This is very distracting, but that's okay. You know, this is just sort of a family time with our people, and it's, you know, we treat this like a church, and we love you all, and we love having guests like Chris Halverson that can, you know, motivate us to pray more, to be better, and connect with God more often, and to treat Him as our Father, because He is. And if you're like me, too, you know, a lot of us don't have earthly fathers. Actually, my husband doesn't have his anymore. I know you don't, Chris, and I haven't for some time, but it's very comforting to know that, you know, our real Father that will never leave us is our Heavenly Father, God.
Absolutely.
Very, very comforting.
Well, Chris, we want to thank you for being our guest tonight.
Oh, I'm honored, you guys. Thanks so much. And everybody who's been listening, it's a real honor to join this community of faith. It's a wonderful way to come together.
It is. We love this time of the month.
Well, we do it every single month, March 15th at 6 p.m. Pacific. If it's the 15th of the month and it's 6 p.m. Pacific, guess what time it is?
The call.
It's time for the call. And so we encourage people to put it right in their contacts on their phone. Mine is the call. And then if you want to, you can forward that information to anybody you want to join us, and you can join us no matter where you are. I have to remember it's 6 p.m. Pacific time, and no matter where Don and I are in the world, and like I said, we've done it from the Philippines, we've done it from Korea, we've done it from Mexico, we've done it from all over the world.
Washington, D.C.
Yeah, we did it from Washington, D.C. Yeah.
Now we're in our daughter's house. We've even done it out back on a patio 2.5 years ago.
That.
We got locked out of our old house.
So no matter where we are, we can always get to a phone line and connect, and we will do that. So I'll tell everyone you know who could use some mid-month encouragement that the call is here for them. And anyhow.
And please continue to email us. Any of your ideas or questions, if you have any ideas for guests that you'd like to hear from, the one great thing about this being on the telephone is we can interview people. Chris, are you coming from Kansas tonight? Are you in Kansas?
I'm in Kansas tonight, yes.
Okay, so Chris is with us from Kansas, and you can understand if we still had a TV show, we'd have to fly him out here.
Yeah, exactly.
So we're glad we could have anybody. So if you have any questions or ideas, please email us. Want to remind you, I will be posting this call on our podcast tomorrow, And it'll actually be in the afternoon because we'll be on an airplane in the morning. But our podcast is Robert Schuller Ministries and then dot podomatic.com. So Robert Schuller Ministries dot podomatic.com. And I always put a link to that on our Robert's Facebook and sometimes my Facebook if you don't remember that. Or you can just Google, you know, what's the address for Robert Schuller Ministries podcast. And it'll be posted there by tomorrow afternoon. You can subscribe to that as well, so you'll receive updates when we post the call. And also, we've been posting some of Robert's sermons to that site. They're little snippets. They've been edited down to about 8 minutes so far. There's two of them on there, and I've had really good response. They're terrific sermons, reminding us of how much God loves us. So anyway, we enjoy this. We love all of you guys. Again, our website, robertschullerministries.org, for any more information. And I guess that's all we have for tonight.
It. You know, I was just looking at, we can see the numbers that people call us from, except there's one anonymous. I don't know who that
there's
is.
There's a few.
Yeah, but there's a few anonymous. I take it back. I didn't scroll far enough down. But what's fascinating is we have so many different area codes. We know that people are from all over the nation, and so hey, we want to just
and
thank
Canada.
You.
We have somebody, at least one from Canada.
So anyway, we want to thank you all for calling, for joining us, and we will talk again on March 15th. And so until next time, God is blessing you always and forever. Love you.
Yeah, bye. Goodbye.